Welcome, everyone, to the Bible Brothers and Beer podcast. My name is Richard, and this is a podcast where we talk about the Bible, we talk about our fellowship, our brotherhood, and we talk about beer slash alcohol. So, and today, I am going to talk to you about putting on the armor of God. Let's get started. So I want to start off by apologizing to our listeners. It's been a while since we put a podcast out, and today it's just me. You get to have me today. Yay. So, and it's summertime. There's a lot going on. So trying to get stuff scheduled is, can be a little bit challenging. So, I figured, you know, and this has been the putting on the armor of God's been on my mind for a couple months now. So I just want to get on real quick and just talk about it. I am reading from notes that I wrote down. So if it feels like I'm reading something, I am, but then I want to try and elaborate on some of the items here. So what I want to do first actually is start off by reading the armor of God, which is in Ephesians 6 and verses 10 through 17. So, and I'm reading from the NIV, the New International Version Bible. So, and this is what it says, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flames all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that is what, sorry, I bumbled a few words there, but Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, that's the, describes the armor of God. And let's start with the belt of truth, right? So, you know, there's a lot of deception out there in this world. There's a lot of half-truths out there, especially when it comes to faith. You know, people will say this, people try and discredit it. I see it all the time. I watch videos of people debating whether the Bible said this or the Bible said that. Is Christ real? Is the Bible real, right? Someone, I was watching this debate and someone said the Bible was a mythical book. I'm like, yeah. But the person that was debating him essentially shut that down, you know, with the truths that he said to this person asking this question. So one of the men in our group was reading The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. And I decided to actually listen to it. I listened to it on a book on tape, I guess. and if you haven't read it or listened to it, I encourage you to do so, because Lee Strobel, you know, before he started doing all this research, he was an atheist. He didn't believe. And at the end of it, he was a believer. He went through a lot of fact checking and spoke to a lot of people. It's actually a really good book. And the timeline he went through to be able to, you know, and in his mind, right, his goal was to discredit the Bible. But as he went along, like I said, he started believing, you know, and he goes out there and he does podcasts now or interviews, talks about his journey. It's an interesting journey. So anyways, and that's something that I think what happens out there in this world is that people don't know, they don't deep dive into it, right? They don't want to spend the time to learn. They just take what's given to them, you know, like media, for instance, what's on the news, you know, there's some things that, there's a narrative that they want to put out there, and you believe it because it's on the news, right? What's that saying of, what if it's on the internet, it's true. So that's not true. So don't believe that. If it's on the internet, it's not true. Not all, I would say a lot of it is not true. You can go out there and fact check it for yourself and get the truth, right? Especially when it comes to your faith. Your faith is important to you. That's why you're listening to this podcast. That's why you go to church. That's why you pray every day, because it's important to you, right? So when you hear someone saying, oh, this, the Bible is a myth, or Jesus never existed, or whatever, it's like, no, you just don't know or want to spend the time to understand the Bible and to know the Bible, right? So I hear that type of stuff, and I'm like, my journey into my faith journey has been a good one, right? From finding this men's group and to be able to give myself to God and honor him, right? And it's been a good journey. Since I've turned to God, like fully, 100%, like my life has been good. Honestly, I'm honest, being totally honest with you, right? And that is, it feels good, you know, versus being on the fence. Speaking of that, I don't know if I've mentioned this story real quick. It's a story about, it's essentially don't be on the fence, right? So the story is this: there was a guy who was, you know, God was, he was in the middle, right? He's like, the devil's pulling him towards him. God is pulling him, you know, towards him. And the guy was like, oh, I don't know. The devil's like, and trying to entice him. I'll give you all this stuff. You know, God's like, come with me. I mean, your life will be good here. And the guy was, you know, he didn't know what he wanted. He was on the fence, right? And he said this to God and the devil. He says, I'm on the fence. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, everything turned black. And he was with the devil. And the guy asked the devil, he's like, wait a minute, I didn't make a decision. You know, I was on the fence. And the devil looked at him and said, I own the fence. So don't be on the fence. Don't be on the fence about something, right? Go all in believing in God and in your faith and following his word. So anyways, the belt of truth is a little long-winded, but you know, hopefully it's going to help you with you know, this whole topic of the armor of God. So the next thing I want to talk about is the breastplate of righteousness, right? In part of verse 14, it says, "And having put on the breastplate of righteousness." And the breastplate, if you guys don't know what a breastplate is, it's a piece of armor that you put on that kind of protects your trunk, the front and the back. And that, you know, protects our heart, our vital organs, you know, if anything physical comes at you. But, you know, in a spiritual sense, you know, the breastplate of righteousness guards our emotions, our will, and our conscience, you know, but it's not on our own righteousness, if that makes any sense. It's Christ's righteousness, you know. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what does that mean? Like, it means behavior that is, a dictionary meaning of righteousness says, behavior that is morally justifiable or right. My goodness, I can't speak today. And, you know, behavior characterized by accepted standards of morality, justice, virtue, and uprightness. And in the Bible's version, the Bible's standard of human righteousness is God's own perfection in every attribute, every attitude, every behavior, and every word. You know, so it's essentially upholding God's word, right? What is righteous? What is spiritually righteous, right? Are you doing, in your life, are you doing things that are spiritually righteous, right? And you think about that. You have, every day you got choices. You have to make choices every single day. You know, whether it's, do I have that piece of donut or do I have a piece of salad or whatever the case. It could be food. It could be physical. It could be mental, spiritual, whatever it is. You're making a choice. You know, am I choosing to honor God in prayer or am I choosing to put it off till tomorrow? You know, because you have so much going on. Listen, you don't have so much going on that you can't stop 15 seconds to say a prayer to honor God, right? You know, and that's, it's being honoring to God. You know, honoring God and, you know, and trusting Him and, you know, just doing what you can to keep yourself connected to the vine, doing what you can, being righteous about it and being just, you know, honoring to Him. So, and that's what it means to me. I mean, I want to go back a little bit to the belt of truth. I wrote a question down, about the belt of truth. And it's, the question is, how do we recognize truth in a world full of lies? Think about that one. Think about, how do you recognize truth in a world full of lies? You know, putting on the belt of truth. You know, what do you do? So, and with that, like the breastplate of righteousness, I also wrote a question down. And the question is, how does righteous living protect us emotionally and spiritually? You know, what do you do to protect yourself emotionally and spiritually? Do you let other people who attack you because you're a believer? Do you get all flustered? Do you have a conversation with them? Do you ask them? Do you get curious? You get defensive? You know, think about that. How does righteous living protect us emotionally and spiritually? So, all right, on to the next one. The shoes of the gospel of peace. You know, and this one is, you know, keeping on the shoes. So verse 15 reads, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And I wrote this down. The gospel gives us peace with God and the ability to stand firm. And then Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're also called to bring that peace to others. And being a man of faith, being a believer, I say this a lot in a context of conversation, right? Like, I say this, that there's a lot of evil out in this world and I don't want to add to it. And I'm not going to add to it. Why would I, when there's enough of that out there? And, you know, it's something that if I can bring peace, if I can use my ability, my mental ability, my spiritual ability, my physical ability to bring peace, then I'll do it, you know? And I'm sure you see evil all the time out there in the world. It's disheartening. You know, whatever that evil looks like, it could be something from, you know, someone attacking somebody or someone abusing somebody verbally, right? Or, you know, someone trying to attack the Bible, saying that's not true or whatever the case is, attack Jesus, attack you because you're a believer. I've heard stories. You know, I'll go out and talk to somebody about my faith. I can't remember if anybody has, I guess I should remember. I should remember if someone attacked me because I was talking about my faith, but I honestly, I can't remember anyone, you know, coming at me because I believe in God. So, and the question I wrote down for this is, how does the gospel help us walk confidently even in chaos? So think about that one. How does the word of God help us walk confidently even in chaos? There's chaos all around us. I mentioned it earlier. There's evil all over this world. How can we go out there and, you know, share the word of God? Be confident in sharing the word, or asking somebody. We actually had this conversation, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, maybe a few weeks ago, about like, how do we share the word? Like, what do you do? What if you meet someone and you want to, you're curious about their faith? How do you approach that? Right? And I think it you try and make it come up naturally, and then, you know, maybe they'll open up. But it's something that, like, I think it becomes a little more peaceful when you learn that someone you just met is a believer too. You know, there's a sense of, for me anyway, this is how I feel. You know, there's a sense of calm. It's like, oh, I can be comfortable around talking about God with this person, which is great. And if they're not a believer, if they don't, you know, they don't believe or they don't want to talk about it, then that's okay. Right. You can take a step, you can step away, and, or as you leave the conversation, just, you know, say a prayer for them. So, all right. And moving on. So the question for that, the shoes of the gospel of peace, I'll ask it. How does the gospel help us walk confidently even in chaos? So think about that one. So next one, shield of faith. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And here's the thing. Our faith is definitely a shield, right? What we believe in can certainly help shield us from all this madness that's going on in this world now. You know, I wrote down, faith deflects the arrows of fear, doubt, temptation, you know, I wrote this down too. Roman shields were large and often locked together with others. And that reminds us that we're not in this alone. We need community. So the shield of faith, your one shield of faith is good, is great. Your 50 or 100 shields put together, guess what? It's even stronger. So that's why having this fellowship is important. Listen, if you're a man out there and you're looking for a men's group, someone to talk to, you know, every Tuesday night, Satire Brewery, Thornton, Colorado. If you're in the Thornton, Denver area, you know, we'd love to have you. You know, let's link up and just be strong together, you know, and strengthen our faith. And I mentioned earlier, right? Like, it's something that, like, I don't, when I read the Bible, I have a daily Bible that I read, by the way. And if I don't understand it, I'll go back and reread it. Right. And if I still don't understand it, you know, I'll lock it in memory or write it down, and I'll ask someone who might have a better understanding of it, you know. In our group, like, we talk about a lot of things. Like, we'll have a section of the Bible that we'll read, or a verse or a paragraph or a chapter. And if I don't understand it after several readings, then I'll go into group and be like, you know, and hear what others have to say. Right. And this happens also with when I was doing Bible study fellowship. We're actually on a break right now for BSF. So, and we go back, I think it's Labor Day week. Anyways, we went through Revelation, the book of Revelation, and there's some things in there I just don't understand. So being able to go in and listen to others, what they have to say, so helpful. It's so, so helpful, right? And, you know, it's, I think it's important to be able to have a group of men, a group of women, a group of couples, whatever it is, who is strong in their faith or just beginning in their faith, to help people, right, continue to strengthen their faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I don't know about you, but that one's a good one. I'll reread it. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So, having a strong faith. And listen, earlier this year, my faith was just kind of wandering. Like I was struggling with my faith. I wasn't motivated. I wasn't like, I don't know. I would read my Bible, my daily Bible, and just read it and not understand it, not going into the mindset that I really want to understand it, what it says. I was going to church. I was half listening, right? I mean, you know, before all that, I was taking notes when I was going to church. I was like, oh, that's really good. I gotta write that down. You know? But what changed it for me? It was being around the men of Bible Brothers and Beer. It was being around the men of Bible Study Fellowship and, you know, talking to my friends, loved ones, and just, you know, doing this podcast, right? Like helped. I feel like I'm in a spot now where I'm good. However, that's actually kind of a dangerous statement. I want to continue to grow my faith and make it stronger, right? I'm not in the spot where I was, you know, months ago, where I was kind of in a low, in a valley. So, but it is something that is, it feels good. When I know I'm in a good spot, then, you know, it feels good. So, question on the shield of faith. This is what I wrote down. What fiery darts are you facing today? And how is your faith shielding you? What fiery darts are you facing today? And how is your faith shielding you? Those fiery darts it's everything. It could be anything, right? From a loved one going through some struggles to work issues or money issues or physical issues or mental issues, spiritual issues. Those are fiery darts, believe it or not. And how can you protect yourself by putting it, your faith into that? Do you know how? Well, think about that one. What fiery darts are you facing today, and how is your faith shielding you? Pray. You gotta pray. You know, I'm telling you, it takes 10 seconds to say a prayer. Pray every day, all the time. Do it. Just do it. All right. Next one, helmet of salvation. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation. So you all know what a helmet is, right? What does it do? Protects your head. In a spiritual sense, it protects your mind. When your thoughts spiral or you question your worth, the assurance of your salvation reminds you of who you are. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's a good one. 12:2. I like that. So what does that mean? What does that mean to you? Don't let the worldly things persuade you to do things that are evil or bad or not good in the eyes of God. That's a good one. That's better, right? Don't let the world persuade you to do things that are not good in the eyes of God. You got to keep your mind protected. You got to be around strong people, strong believers who will strengthen you and will help you, right? Protect your mind. We have these thoughts all the time. Like a church I used to go to, the pastor said, I think he said this quite a few times, I'm one decision away from destroying my life. Think about that. You're one decision away from destroying your life. And that's where the helmet of salvation comes in. Protect you. Protect your mind from the influences out of the outside world. Protect your mind in making the right decisions that will honor God, that will honor your family. Right? So, question for this. For this helmet of salvation. These are like more reflection questions. Anyways, when your mind is overwhelmed, how can the truth of your salvation bring peace? When your mind is overwhelmed, how can the truth of your salvation bring peace? My mind is overwhelmed all the time. Usually it's work stuff. And I have to take a step back. I have to take a step back, take a break, listen to music. Right? I mean, I'm listening to music, but it's just more when I'm working, but it's more background noise. This is what I do. This is just a scenario, right? Like I'm working, and if I can't think straight, that's when I know like the easy stuff that I do, it becomes challenging, or I can't think straight, or whatever. I'll take a break. I'll take a step back. And that's protecting my mind. Because if not, then I'll make mistakes and make the wrong decisions, right? So, and sometimes I'll pray. I'm like, God, help me bring peace to my head, right? So with all these thoughts, it's funny because, usually men have just one or two thoughts in their head, you know, and we can kind of sort it out. But those can be thoughts that are very overwhelming. So I think sometimes taking a break, protecting your mind, protecting your spirit, like, and then into a spiritual parallel to that, right, is all these things being thrown at you that are not honoring to God. You know, it can get overwhelming, right? You can get overwhelmed with it, and you're like, you know what? I'll just do it. You know, so I stop thinking about it. Well, that's the devil winning, right? That's why you have your helmet of salvation on. So, all right, moving on to the next one. Let's talk about the sword of the Spirit. Verse 17, part of it says, "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And I wrote this down. Excuse me. This is our offensive weapon. God's word is powerful. Amen to that. It's living, very true, and able to cut through lies. Yes, it is. So the word of God is our offensive weapon. I want to reread this for you guys. God's word is powerful, living, and able to cut through lies. Jesus used scripture to defeat Satan during his temptation in Matthew 4. And we must know, memorize, and meditate on the word to fight effectively. You know, the first time I heard the Bible is living, I was like, what does that mean? What does it mean that it's living? I don't understand that. And someone said, one of the guys in the group, actually, yeah, I think it was someone in the group said, kind of put it like this. You're going to read the Bible X amount of times, right? You're going to read that passage. You're going to read that chapter. And every time you read it, guess what? You might get something different out of it. And that's living. That's a living, helping you mentally, helping you live, helping you understand the Bible. So, you know, the the living word of God. You know, and it's powerful too. I mean, just the what I just read, Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, I mean, the armor of God, you know, that's, I don't know, that one for me is awesome. Yeah, I have a story for you. I'll tell you at the end though. Okay, question for this, reflection question. How can you use scripture to fight temptation and lies? Think about that one. How can you use scripture to fight temptation and lies? What do? Temptation's coming at you. What do? And I'm going to tell you, I said this before. Is it honoring God? Is it not? Lies are coming at you. How can you use scripture to fight lies? You know, here's the thing. Age of internet, you can look anything up. Right? Something's coming at you. There's a lie. You're not sure. Is it a lie or not? Is it? I don't know. You can use the internet. You can use your knowledge. Open your Bible. Open your physical Bible. Search for it. Be your own Google. The sword of the Spirit. How can you use scripture to fight temptation and lies? I want to reread this again because it's so great. God's word is powerful, living, and able to cut through lies. All right, I'm moving on. Praying in the Spirit. This is a good one. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. I didn't read 18 in my earlier when I was reading these verses. But anyways, I'm throwing it in now. You're stuck. You're listening. I know you're engaged, so keep on listening. 6:18, Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So, and I wrote this down. Prayer is what energizes the whole armor. It keeps us connected to our commander. It's through prayer we receive strength, wisdom, and direction. Prayer is our spiritual communication line. I don't know about you guys, but I pray all the time. I pray all the time. I mean, my prayer life is my prayer life. Your prayer life, you have a prayer life. Your prayer life is your prayer life, right? Whether it's the same prayer all the time or it's a different prayer every single time, or if you're praying for somebody that you just met or praying for somebody that you love, that you care about, that's in your life, say your prayer. Even if it's just the apostles' prayer, right? You know that one, Our Father who art in heaven. I know you're saying it in your head right now, so keep on saying it. Don't stop till you're done. I pray that all the time. You know, and it's something, even if it's just that, you're praying, right? And that is something that, what I just said, it keeps you connected with God. It's our communication line, our spiritual communication line with God. All right. The reflection question for this. Why is prayer vital in spiritual warfare? So think about that one. Why is prayer vital in spiritual warfare? So that's it. That's it, guys. The armor of God. I hope that, you know what? Let me summarize real quick. I am going to just, so this is it. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, and a lifestyle of prayer. Right? So God gives us the equipment to protect ourselves. He doesn't leave us defenseless, right? And we need to stand firm in that. We need to stand firm in it. Can you do that? So here's my challenge to you, right? Just this one week, just starting Sunday, starting now, or starting after you listen to this podcast. Read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 every morning. And pray through each of the pieces of armor and ask God to help you. You know, ask God to help you in your walk to stay protected and empowered. How does that sound? I'm going to do it. Shoot, I've been doing it for the past couple months. I've been thinking about this, the armor of God. So I encourage you, I challenge you. Listen, if you're, I know you can leave comments on Spotify. If you listen to this and you can leave a comment on Spotify. I don't know if you can leave it on RSS feed website. I'll have to take a look. Anyways, Spotify, you can leave a comment. Leave a comment. Tell me that you did it. When you're done, your week is done, and you've read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 every morning, put in the comments. Say, hey, I did it. Richard, I did it. You know, there's no prize at the end of it. The prize is you strengthening your faith, right? I think that's prize enough. So anyways, listen, I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you for listening, spending the time to listen to what I have to say about the armor of God. And I know everyone's time is important. It's, you know, this is only probably going to be a half hour podcast. I have to edit it. So there's going to be a lot of editing. So you have to excuse, you know, anyways, thank you for listening. I want to throw out there, if you're a man and you are in the Denver area or you're visiting the Denver area, if you're close to Thornton, Colorado, and you're here on Tuesday or you have Tuesdays free, stop by and see us. Stop by Satire Brewery Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 for our men's group, Bible, Brothers, and Beer. We'd love to have you. And if you're a woman listening and you're in the Denver area or you're visiting, same with you, right? My daughter and my daughter-in-law run a women's group on Wednesday nights. And they meet at a coffee house. So if you go to our website, BibleBrothersAndBeer.com, there's links there. What you need to know, first time, if it's your first time there, if you want to know more about us, get out there, read it. And if you have any questions at all, there's a link down at the bottom of the website. And send me an email. Send us an email. So, okay. I just realized I didn't talk about Fellowship of Beer. I'm not drinking anything. You know, so I'm, you know, it's just me. I'm drinking root beer. How's that? I'm drinking root beer. That's what I'm drinking. I'm being honest, I'm drinking root beer. I went to In-N-Out earlier, had a burger, was drinking 7-Up and then put myself a root beer. Anyways, that's my beer for this podcast. And the fellowship piece. I think I talked about the fellowship piece in what I was talking about, right? In I think it's all important, but I think that what really sticks out to me is grabbing your shield, that shield that you have, no matter how big, how small it is, grab your shield, link up with all the other men in this group, and we will protect ourselves, our family, our faith, all of it, right? So anyways, that's all I have. I'm spent. It's very challenging for me to just to talk by myself, but it helped because I had written a lot of things down. So anyways, thanks again for listening, and you know, stay true to yourself. Put on that armor of God. Don't forget the challenge. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 every morning for a week. Do it. All right, I'll put it on the notes there on the podcast. So anyways, thank you all for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and continue to pray. Love you. Bye.